Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone? Derek Evers, Chris Robbins, with Orgy Edition Part 2 of Nothing Urgent.
Not every edition has to be an orgy edition.
No, but I think when there's this many people in the room, it'd be sweaty. It'd be like a bear orgy, though, I feel like.
I think there's, what, 11 of us in here?
Something like that. There's a lot. There's a lot. And if anyone's seen our studios here in Monaco, you would know that it's not...
Great ocean view, but not a lot of space.
Yeah, but we are... The reason we have so many people is we're joined by Destruction Unit... And we're joined by all of them. I'll go through the names really quick. Ryan Rousseau, Jess Aurelius, Andrew Flores, Nick Napa, and Rusty Rousseau. And their publicist, Raul Epstein, is here as well. So that, you know, and then a couple friends are here as well. So that, and then...
Some key grips and some craft services people in the corners. And
so, but we'll be talking with them in about 5 minutes. But I wanted to get your take really quick on how you feel about the primary election.
The elections were great. And we have Laura Namias here to talk. She's a reporter for the New York World, and she's written stuff for the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and lots of other important publications. But the primaries are great. I sort of want to talk about this thing that I saw on the way to work today, where there was a squashed rat, right, on the road, which is nothing unusual. But right next to it, like almost holding its hand, was a squashed pigeon. And like, what are the odds of a squashed rat and a squashed pigeon essentially being... on top of each other like that?
I'm gonna guess,
like, what were they doing?
I'm gonna guess that the pigeon was probably like, might have been eating the squashed rat. Not to get gross, but
really,
I don't know.
Do they do that?
Maybe. Okay, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't see why not.
Here's another question. I figure like rats and pigeons are too wily to be out in the middle of the road, you know, and then just get smacked by a car. So do you think that the rat eats poison and then, like, in its death throes, like, stumbles out into the middle of the road and then dies and then gets squashed? Or do you really think that it scurries out in front of a car?
Yeah, I think it's happenstance. The pigeon is the weirder one, though, because I've seen them fly away at, like, such close intervals. You're just, you know.
Yeah, but what were they doing at the same time on that same little stretch of sad pavement?
I don't think
anyone ever know?
No one will know. If it was at the same time, though, that would be pretty incredible.
Okay, well...
I feel like the 11 people around the room are looking at us like, what are these guys talking about?
Well, I looked down, and I was... Because, you know, I'm riding my bike, and so I looked down, and I'm like, you know, rat. And I was like, whoa, that's a rat and a pigeon. And I just couldn't stop thinking about that all today. Maybe I'm just weird.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Someone said Romeo and Juliet.
Well, at least you had your bike.
Romeo and Juliet.
Last week, your bike got stolen, so, you know.
Yeah.
At least you have a bike.
That's true.
So, okay.
Primaries.
Yeah.
Or no.
Well, let's really quick. Right before we go to Destruction Unit, because I just want to talk about this really quick, and we'll have questions for Laura. Well, I have plenty of questions, but how come you weren't out at any of the parties last night? There was one right by my house.
I texted
you. I was like, "You there?"
I was reporting on a voting fraud scandal going on in Williamsburg, so I was a little busy, Derek. I'm sorry I didn't, you know, sorry I wasn't checking Foursquare and shit, whatever else you were doing.
So do you think? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I was gonna say, do you think De Blasio's, you know, is like, is he in the clear, or is Thompson gonna?
I don't know. I, you know, in the clear is such a vague term. You mean like there's not going to be a runoff? I mean, we're not going to have to do this all over again in a few weeks?
Yeah. I guess those are questions for Laura.
Okay.
Let's talk to Destruction Unit, because they're all here. They're being very patient, and they have a show tonight at Mercury Lounge. So, guys, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk about the stuff that no one ever talks about. Like, you guys are from Arizona. I think every interview, it's like the first thing. It's like, let's talk about Arizona. It's hot there, right?
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, we went to Comic-Con, and I flew into Phoenix, actually, before driving to San Diego. And it was nice, but it was hot.
Is the term zonies, is that a derisive term? Like, because I hear that, you know, people from California are like, oh, the zonies. Like, what do you make of that? I don't even know what it means. Like, what does it mean to be a zonie?
I don't know.
Really?
You remember zoned out?
Yeah.
I've never even heard that word.
Really?
Before. I always say zoner.
Zony's real. They're just crazy.
Yeah? But what is that? Is that like the crystal loving, like what sort of sect of Arizonans is that encompass?
Heat fried brain, I think.
Heat fried brain. Yeah. All right.
But you guys do have like a wet season, isn't there? Like a humid season, something?
Yeah, it's right now.
Yeah.
Monsoon season.
But it doesn't rain, right? It's just humid.
It rains a little bit.
So what area? We're not gonna hammer the Arizona thing too much. But what parts of Arizona are you guys from?
Phoenix.
Yeah, that's where I visited. I've never been anywhere else but Phoenix. I'm in Arizona.
Okay.
All right. That's like the desert. So so how many of you guys have meth labs though?
None.
I just you assume that's like a. Do you guys get pulled over a lot? Because that was the other thing. I mean, we were driving to San Diego. We were taking Route 8. And we got, not pulled over, but like checked like twice.
Just yeah, they have the border checkpoints.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal.
We get stopped and searched every time.
When you're going, especially going to San Diego, right?
Yeah.
And when they see you're a band, they're just like.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to suggest. Now, I'm not going to suggest that they would have reason to pull you over, but let's just say they did. You guys just don't bring anything of that nature with you?
Yeah, we know better.
Is that kind of the rule?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, I grew up close to Canada. We made that trip many times, and, like, you didn't really have to worry too much about that, even crossing the border. But that was harsh. And we were driving,
Yeah, Canada border is pretty harsh nowadays.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
We had, actually, we had students in last week, and they were discussing that exact thing. I'm trying to think of, like, different ways to frame these questions, and maybe that, you know, but, I read also that you guys like to send music to prisoners.
Yes, more.
Is that for Jess?
Jess's thing over there.
It was just an idea I had.
And did it ever come to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, I had it while we've essentially been on this tour, so it hasn't been a very long running thing yet. But
have you gotten any feedback yet?
Yeah, not a ton of stuff, because it's not a very big operation, but yeah, I mean, I've gotten some messages and stuff.
What are they like? This piques my curiosity. Like, what are they?
I got my legal counsel, Mr. Epstein, here. He could probably.
I haven't read any of the responses.
He's got.
What am I paying you?
He's filing.
I have no idea.
So, like, do you send your music or do you send like Aesthetic House music?
Yeah, it's just all of our different projects.
We're gonna be doing a special tape just for the prisoners.
And is it going to be you guys?
Or is it Destruction Unit.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's also anything we've released, really, for the most part. Because there's a pretty wide range of stuff from not just, like, rock music, but everything from experimental to even hip-hop. Like, we've put out a bunch of different things. So it's not really... I mean, in some ways, I guess it's kind of a political statement, but it's more so just, like, a personal thing that I...
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think... I don't think it's that... I wouldn't say weird or anything like that, but I think it's pretty interesting, especially that you guys would get feedback. You know, do you find that they are drawn to any certain type of music that you send them, or are they just like glad that someone's kind
of... Honestly, it's more corresponding with like relatives or friends of people and then saying like, hey, my buddy's put away for 5 years, can you send him some stuff? So it's not specifically talking to too many people directly.
Right.
What's the format? Like, what do they play in prison? Like CDs or tapes?
There's specific types of tapes you can buy to send to prisons that don't have screws and they're clear so you can see in them. And then we also put out, like, reading material and stuff, and we can send that stuff, too, sometimes.
So what's the... Okay, you run... Jess, I'm pointing to Jess here for all the people that are not viewing
this. For everyone else.
Are you kind of like the figurehead of Aesthetic House, or is it kind of the whole band, or what's the
there's no thing like that. It's a much more loosely structured thing than that. It's everyone in this room is involved, and there's other people in Arizona that aren't here that are just as involved as I am, and then also some people in other that don't live in Arizona right now.
Do you find that like you're trying to, when you guys are growing in popularity, do you try to like kind of incorporate some of the stuff that you guys are doing back home into that? Whether it's like, obviously I'm pressing you about this right now, but
most of it is like Arizona stuff. We try to like mostly represent what's going on in Phoenix as well as abroad in kind of desolate places similar to Phoenix.
Everything we've done is people that we've been friends with or have collaborated with or respected for like a good number of years. It's not really, we're not really like approaching that many people, especially that we don't know.
Right.
It's more so people who are all involved with the same sort of community.
I just, when I think about it, I kind of think of the concept of almost like Baltimore when Dan Deacon was doing like, you know, the Wham City stuff, and you had like kind of a situation where he would do like a, you know, like you'd bring people out on tour with them. Do you guys see something like that moving forward? Do you guys, because I know right now you guys, you know, touring with a lot of Sacred Bones bands and things like that, but do you want to get to the point where you can kind of like be like, oh, bring this band with
we're,
us?
Who's we're on tour with this Aesthetic House band called Ukiah Drag.
Okay.
Yeah. We put out a tape by them, and even last night we played Boston, and we played with another band we put out a tape with, Psychic Blood.
Mm-hmm.
So we play with those bands all the time, and I mean, all of them are related to various different things. It's all kind of connected.
We had the opportunity to have them open up for us on this tour for a handful of dates, so, and it worked out pretty good because they're a great band.
Yeah, does that get a little bit more? Does it more fun when you guys can kind of, in that sense, like pick the bands you're playing with, or at least like in the case of like having your friends?
I mean, for the most part, right? I'm not gonna want to play if we're not like involved in deciding that kind of stuff.
Right, right. And if that, I mean, you guys have, I would say it's kind of a luxury, but if you guys starting out, you guys probably, when you were touring, it wasn't quite, I guess I'm getting to the point where it's like, now you guys are growing a little bit, it's kind of.
We've been doing it this way since we've started. I mean, there's more people kind of paying attention now, but nothing's really changed in that regard. Like, all of us have been touring for years. Ryan's been touring for a long time. I've been touring for a long time. And I mean, pretty much universally, we, up until recently, because now that we're touring a lot more, but for the most part, we've like booked everything ourselves, put all of our stuff out ourselves. It's just a lot more, it's a lot easier to like control quality and how people sort of interact with your band when you're not like delegating that stuff out to people who aren't really involved.
And when it comes to like shows in Phoenix, the one thing I realized when I was there is, you know, there's a lot of like communities in the sense that like, you know, you could go from one area of the Phoenix suburbs to another area and drive like literally an hour to get there. Is that like something that kind of is difficult when you're with like, or is it almost, can you kind of like tour regionally almost in like the same?
I mean, we all kind of live within like a square mile of each other in a smaller city outside of Phoenix called Tempe. And I mean, the whole music community kind of lives really close to each other.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's either Phoenix or Tempe.
There's really only a few spots, and like most, like it'll be in the neighborhood, and everyone just like walks there.
Yeah. So where do you guys now? You guys after this, where are you guys going?
Philly.
Well, I mean, like, are you guys doing the rest of the U.S. or do you guys have?
We're doing the East Coast and then the South, and then our tour ends in Memphis at Gonerfest. And then from there, we're going to fly to Europe and do about a month and a half of touring through there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love Goner. We were there in March and, like, stopped by. I love those people.
Do you feel that this sort of trope that you guys play really loud, is that earned? Or is that, at this point, just sort of like,
find out tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard you. and I would say that was, like, from what I can remember from South by Southwest, because a lot of that night is a blur. But I do remember it being excruciatingly loud. Not excruciatingly, I don't want to say that. I was really actually...
You can say that.
I do...
but people remember that, though, you know?
Like, it's loud, but you can still hear all the tones and things going on.
Like this is a weird story, but I was like 8, and I was taking guitar lessons from this older guy, and he was like, I saw Jimi Hendrix, and he was the loudest thing I've ever seen in my life, and I will never forget that, just because he was loud. He couldn't even see him. He was like an ant, but still, like, he... You know, you lost a lot of hearing from that, so...
I mean, we definitely like the idea that, like, you can't talk over... Like, I hate being at a show and the person next to you is just talking about their day or something. Like, we want to make sure that everyone in the audience is paying attention. so we kind of don't give them an option.
That's a really good point. I've never, like, that is one of the most annoying things when someone's talking, or even if you're in the crowd and you're just like, you hear someone talking next to you and you're just like,
now you need like a cell phone signal scrambler, right? That's like the next step.
How do you know we don't have one?
It's in development right now. Raul Epstein can tell you more about that.
Is it really? Because that would be amazing.
Those exist. Yeah, you can get stuff like that.
I mean, that would be a great destruction. That would, like, the destruction right. unit.
Yeah,
you could just call it that.
Ruins your Instagram.
Or any of anything that would you know, basically instigate you to hold your phone up and take a photo or a video. But do you guys? How's your guys' hearing?
What?
Do you guys play with earplugs?
No.
Nah.
Really?
We can still hear.
Yeah,
I'm still alive.
Yeah, still alive.
I find that, like, I've been going to shows for years and years, and then I'll, like, have...
Derek's 48.
Yeah, and I'll be like, man, I've been going, it doesn't bother me, and now all of a sudden it's like, I don't hear rings or anything like that, but it's just like people will say things, I'll be like, what?
You know, it's like the voice on Charlie Brown, like...
No, it's not, that's what I mean, it's not like that, it's just like...
I think it's different from when you're playing up on the stage, and then...
Yeah, you guys are behind the amps, too.
No matter how loud our amps go, they're not going to be loud enough... That what we want them to be.
I mean, that raises a good point. I mean, let's just say, for the sake of argument, you guys are on, you know, you guys are, I guess Slayer is the only example I can think of because they had that wall of speakers that then they show the picture of behind and it was like hollow amps, yeah, you know? Yeah. But do you guys want to do that? Do you guys want to have just like a giant wall?
It's too much stuff to carry.
If someone sets it up for but, me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're at that point, I guess someone else has to do it for you, right?
As their representative, I'd like to say that you see bands all the time with like full stacks and they're playing through three twin reverbs, which is essentially a combo amp, and that's louder than most of the bands that are playing right now. And
how is that? How is
the
that
tones are different. They have different tones.
Frequencies, baby.
Yeah.
Right. And now is that accomplished through you guys, like the actual loudness, or then you just have it has to go through the house though for that, right?
No, it's all us. I mean,
the house always hates us.
Screaming at us.
We know how to mix our frequencies, right? Like we all kind of push out a different sound.
Yeah. That is actually, I think, the beauty of you guys in your live set is because there's just so many layers, and then you can hear them all. And like, I love how you guys will start with something that almost sounds just like, you know, for lack of a better term, normal rock song, and then it just kind of builds, and like, there's all these layers that just kind of like build on top of that, that just kind of like creates different sounds, and then you guys are playing kind of off those. Do you guys do? Is there a lot of looping involved in that, or is it just all like? Because you got enough people, you could probably do it without doing that.
You gotta have tricks to get the slicks.
There's you don't want to give away the tricks though, right?
Well, I don't have a loop pedal.
I mean, I'm trying to ask technical questions that I don't really know much about. That's the problem.
No, you're on the right track.
I'm not a guitar player, so I'm actually not in anything.
Neither are any of us.
Well, that's a good point though. So how do you guys like? I don't want to get into the, you know, minutia of, like, how do you write a song, but, like, is it just kind of, like, one person will start playing with, like, what is kind of, like, the bass, and you know, not bass instrument,
kind
but
of,
the bass
yeah.
level, and then you guys kind of build on top of that?
Pretty much.
We all kind of just do our own thing, and it works well together, so it's really not so much, like, no one's writing each other's parts for them or anything.
Right, right. So is it written mostly live, then?
Kind of, yeah. It constantly evolves, and I mean, what we're playing now live is different than how it is on the record, but
totally.
So,
do you guys watch Breaking Bad?
Trying to keep up on tour is really difficult, but yes.
And do you guys like? I'm trying.
They jumped the shark, man.
You think so?
That was so lame.
With the ending?
Yeah, of the last episode.
Of the last episode.
Yeah, that shit was lame.
I know we can't play spoiler alert. I guess. I think the one that's really well. I'll just say.
I don't give a fuck. I just want to be on the record.
So Chris,
can we swear?
Yeah, you can swear. Absolutely. Chris doesn't. Two things Chris doesn't do is sports and like legitimate movies or TV. And I say legitimate because he's like a huge fan of like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
But look,
like Nick Nolte.
He just said
that
he tries to keep up, and then he keeps up, and then it lets him down. I just don't want to be let down. You know, all that time and all that like love and spirit devoted to what a television show that's just going to let me down again. You know, I'm not on to that. That's my soapbox. Yeah,
that's just really sad.
I know. Well, you know,
it's supposed to be that you know, 30 minutes or 45 minutes of reprieve.
Okay. Sure.
You know what else I've noticed about the room with this many people in here?
What's that?
It's a lot warmer than it normally is. There's a lot of bodies in here today.
You're You're observant today, I gotta say. You're on it.
I know, I'm a big fan of the bodies. It's because I haven't... You know, the one thing we should... it's kind of a topic that I don't know if we should discuss on the air, but...
Oh, well, now you have to.
I know. I don't know if I well, you said I can't because your family listens, Chris, so we won't discuss that.
What?
We'll discuss it off.
Okay. It's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, I guess.
All right.
He took your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's the basis of
so that. You watch Breaking Bad. No. So Europe. That's where you guys are going after this. What have you guys been before?
Yep.
And then as a band, I know you probably with Jay, right?
Yeah, as a band we went, but it was a very different lineup. So,
what was the lineup the last time?
It just included other people that are no longer in the band.
Has that been is that a process that you have to overcome when you add new people, or has it kind of been natural?
No, we've been doing this the current version for like a year and a half or 2 years now. So,
yeah. And when did the record come out?
Last month.
Was it last month?
August, yeah.
August. And how? And you guys, the response has been really good, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We sold out on tour.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you guys are getting a lot of support from Sacred Bones, Caleb and those guys.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're really good people. And I think you guys have a really good aesthetic for them, as well as, like, obviously them for you guys, but you guys are almost like... exactly to a T, you know, just, but you know, it fits really well in what they're doing.
Yeah. Did you see that the record comes with blotter paper in it?
What?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I wanted to kind of keep going down that route, but you know, I don't want to out you guys on the radio is what I'm getting at.
I had a good friend who like took a bunch of mescaline for like 2 days, and he said he found his spirit animal, and he wouldn't tell me what it was for like a really long time, and finally he was like, all right, it's an insect. And I was like, what kind of insect? He's like, I won't tell you what kind of insect. So it's like an embarrassing insect, whatever that is.
Ladybug.
Yeah, but like you shouldn't be embarrassed of your spirit animal, though, you know?
Have you guys found your spirit animal?
Yeah.
What is it?
He's a lizard or a snake?
Actually a cactus.
Nothing from this world, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, my mind just keeps going in that direction. I feel basically drugs is what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about you guys per se. I'm just saying that's what Arizona, like, for some reason. That's
instills
what
in you?
Yeah, that's what it makes me think of.
Do you have some?
I saw you guys were looking for some. That was is that wrong to assume? I saw Facebook and tweets going around.
You got to believe it if it's on.
You got to be careful, man. Yeah, cops look at that shit now. Cops and the FBI and everyone else.
The NSA?
Yeah.
But they're not Muslim, so you guys aren't Muslim, right? They're not looking at them. Anyway, and then we killed that. That kills the room. Well, guys, we appreciate you guys coming through. I think we hammered about as many points about loudness in Arizona as I think we can.
Tonight's sold out, right? Is that what you said?
No, it's not sold out at all.
It might right. buy the show, but
there's right, definitely so. It's definitely not sold out as of right now.
So everyone listening in New York, go to Mercury Lounge tonight and see D Unit. Who are you guys playing with?
Pharmacon.
Yeah, Pharmacon.
That's gonna be a drag.
Yeah, that's gonna be
bring some blunts.
That'll be a very good show.
Yeah, dude,
got some sprinkles.
Wait, was the blotter paper? Is that real?
That's true.
There I mean, is it's one. Not, it there is
there's
one,
nothing on it.
There is one real one.
Is there? There's
circulation.
There's one real one in circulation. I'm trying to think of a good city. It's like. Iowa City man overdoses on acid from yes. record.
It's not possible.
Yeah, cool. Guys, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's tough thank when you got man. You know you got like six or seven people, but we're really glad that you guys stopped by. I personally, you guys are one of my favorite bands. That's why we asked you guys to play that show at Shea Stadium, and asked you guys to play at South by Southwest. And you know, you guys keep putting out music, and we'll keep listening.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thank you. With that, we're going to play Slow Death Sounds by Destruction Unit. After that, we're going to come back with Laura Namis. Did I say that correct?
Close.
We'll correct it when I come back.
Slow down.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards and Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surifarms.com.
Oh, that was, I thought we were waiting for the beef commercial. I'm looking at Joe. I was like,
where's the beef commercial?
Oh, non-topical humor. So yeah, we're still here. Destruction Unit is still in the house, but we're going to talk New York politics, so I don't know if they'll have much to...
Don't sell them short, Derek. Come on, I know. That's pretty mean.
I mean, a lot of people have feelings about Mike Bloomberg, but I don't know how many people have feelings about Bill de Blasio.
Well, that's a good question.
So now we're joined. Why don't you introduce her? Because I kind of got her name a little bit wrong.
Yeah, so why
that's
don't
okay.
you pronounce
I'm
it...
I'm used to that.
Pronounce it right. Pronounce it correctly.
Namis.
Namius.
Namius. Oh, okay. Yeah. Namius. There is an I in there, and I didn't.
It's Sephardic.
She is a reporter for the New York World, and she's done stuff for the Times and the Wall Street Journal, and who else? City and State.
Yeah.
Any
Vice.
Other?
Vice.
Vice.
The New York Post.
Everyone. Yeah.
So did you, were you out covering the election last night?
No, I wasn't out in the field, so to speak.
Inside a voting booth.
No, I was not. But although I did vote, I voted.
Yeah, see, I'm a registered independent, so yesterday was kind of like...
I'm registered in Virginia, so I did not vote.
Yeah.
What surprised you yesterday, if anything?
I was surprised by everything.
Really?
I thought there was good... I mean, I'm a little bit cynical, in general, and a lot of different things happened yesterday that kind of shocked me and maybe teaches me that I'm a little bit out of touch, but I did not expect Bill de Blasio to get as many votes as he did. Right now he is outpacing Bill Thompson by about 100,000 votes. He's like close to being in a situation where he doesn't have to get a runoff. Vito Lopez, the former assemblyman who was accused of like molesting his employees, got voted out. And I think a lot of people thought that that wasn't going to happen because he has like reliable machine voter operation.
Right.
Charles Hines, the Brooklyn district attorney who has been accused of protecting Orthodox Jewish sex offenders, also got voted out. It's the first time that an incumbent district attorney has been voted out of office in 50 years.
When you say that yesterday was kind of then an uplifting day of voter results,
yeah,
in a sort
of
way?
What I'm saying is, like, yeah, I was like, I'm kind of cynical and I don't expect things to change most of the time, and this was definitely like game change kind of day.
Okay, but like, isn't that such a small, like, how many people voted in the Democratic primary?
Like
30% or 20% of all registered Democrats in New York?
Yeah, basically. It was
isn't about 20%. That really
but that's
sad?
Still like,
that's so
how many
sad.
People, that's still got to be.
That's pretty sad.
That's about, what, 400, 500,000 people?
That's nobody, though.
Yeah, like six, no, I think it was like a little over 600,000.
Still a lot of people.
That's like a 4-block radius from the studio, you know? Like, that's who decided who's, I mean, how many people voted in the Republican primary? Like,
oh, it was
30,000?
Yeah.
not
like
very
30,000 or something, which can't even fill Yankee Stadium or Citi Field or whatever, which is obscene.
Yeah, Anthony Weiner got more votes, I think, than the guy who actually won the Republican
Ray
primary.
Liotta's brother.
Yeah.
Joe Liotta.
We have this joke because Derek referred to him as Joe Liotta, straight-faced, like, several times, and I didn't stop him.
Well,
so now he's Joe Liotta.
Okay, let me ask you this. So he's right now sitting at like 40.2%, but of course they have to, you know, count now.
Yeah,
now Thompson wants to count all the write-in votes and all the other, you know, votes that basically to whether or not they should have a runoff. So do you know, like, what? And he has a lot. I mean, I said this to Chris last night. I think if he forces a runoff, there is a legitimate chance because you don't know what happened to the other, you know, however the other votes that the other candidates got. You also have, he's still got the backing of all the unions. You don't know how, like, the women voters that, you know, you assume that voted for Christine Quinn will go. But don't you think it's kind of, like, detrimental to the Democratic Party and that it's trying to, you know, I guess, unify behind a might be their first time mayor since Dinkins?
Right. Well, there's a couple of different things in play there. They're not going to have the vote total certified until sometime early next week, like Monday. And the unions who backed Thompson are going to have to decide whether or not they're going to go with de Blasio. And Thompson can also decide to spend the money to get a lawyer to try to force his hand in the runoff. If Bill de Blasio's vote total show that he's over 40% next week, it's sort of wonky, but then Bill Thompson is going to have to like litigate in order to make that runoff happen. And I think today, actually, his campaign manager said that she thought that Bill de Blasio had pulled out a decisive victory. So it's going to be a little crazy, and I think he's going to hear from a lot of people that he should just concede and let the democratic process go forward so de Blasio can focus his resources on, you know, facing down the Koch brothers and, like, whoever else doesn't want him to win.
Right, that was kind of my point because, you know, it's one thing to if you assume that it would be a Democrat that becomes the mayor, but that's obviously not the case in New York, even though we're decidedly liberal. And then you have a situation where people are taking pictures. I think they know who you are, or at least they know who Raoul Epstein is.
Ooh.
But
It's a fangirl.
The note says, yeah. Who are you? Are you important?
Say yes. Are you, yeah, when we're someone important. Asks you that, you say yes.
Yes.
But that's probably my point is because, you know, Ray Liotta's brother has a large contingency behind him. Like you mentioned the Koch brothers. You also have, you know, he has Giuliani. I'm assuming Bloomberg is going to probably get behind him because he's, you
that's
know.
That's not, we don't know that yet.
We don't know that, but also like the whole Ray Kelly thing as de Blasio's decidedly anti-Ray Kelly. I don't want to say anti, but it doesn't want to keep him in power.
You're digging the word decidedly these days.
Am I?
Yeah.
That's a nice word.
Yeah, sure.
I think I wanted to say decisively, though. That's the problem.
Okay, but was last night, in your eyes, like a rebuke of the Bloomberg years because Quinn did so poorly? Or is the vote total too small to even really matter?
It's wacky because it is and it isn't a rebuke of him because they did these exit polls. Does anybody care about this? I don't know. In the exit polls, people said that they were ready for, a majority said they were ready for a change from the Bloomberg years. And then they also said that they, like, more than half of them approved of the job that he'd been doing. Which is sort of, there's some kind of, like, weird, I don't understand what the, it's like a...
It's like the sort of thing where they pull Tea Partiers or it's like, keep, you know, government out of my Medicare or whatever.
It
seems very
no benefits for anybody else.
Yeah, I think it's the internal, like, you know, I have this internal struggle with Bloomberg because on one side he's decidedly pro... Decidedly.
Whoa!
He's...
Bing, bing!
He's very pro-business and, like, obviously Wall Street and has created a huge economic divide. But then he does, like, you know, seemingly social things like, you know...
Pedestrian plazas.
Yeah, pedestrian plazas, bike lanes.
Smoking,
you know,
legislation, which arguably has, in his words, saved lives. Cost coolness, saved lives.
Yeah. Coolness is at an all-time low, but lives at an all-time high.
I want to know if you guys have any thoughts on Mayor
Yeah, does
Bloomberg?
Destruction Unit have any thoughts on Mayor Bloomberg at all?
No. Do you guys have any thoughts on politics in general?
Fuck the cops, man.
that's a
right.
Common sentiment.
Yeah.
Especially stop and frisk.
Yeah.
Sure.
Especially they've been stopping. Have you guys ever been frisked?
In town?
Yes, sir. No.
Wait.
Not in New York.
Not in New York.
Not in New York.
Yet.
Yeah, that could all change tonight at Mercury Lounge. Yeah. Tune in.
Although if the NSA is tuning in, they might just be waiting outside.
They don't have to, they don't have to hack in anything. You just listen online if they want. Yeah. It's fine. Anyway.
Bloomberg.
So it is and it isn't.
Right.
Were you surprised that Quinn sort of did so poorly?
Definitely. She totally bombed. It was weird, right? It was weird.
It was strange because... You know, and she, like, that huge fawning New York Magazine profile, and the Times had that really, like, I think her campaign manager wrote that really heartfelt thing or told it to Frank Bruni or whatever. Like, she had the Times endorsement. She had all these, like, you know, smart people, quote unquote, behind her. But still, that just wasn't enough. Like, people, I mean, do people even care about that?
Right. So, well, I don't know about, like, I don't even know how many people take the Times. Well, it's important, but I don't know how important it was in this case. I think a couple of things. One, she didn't start, like, a campaign to be like, women, follow me,
right,
until very recently. And before that, I think that she was running a lot on the fact that her candidacy was historic in the sense that she would be the first openly gay mayor.
Right.
But this is a weird thing for a couple of reasons. One, because... gay voters, LGBT voters are not like a monolith. It's like, just because, you know, I'm gay, you're lesbian, whatever, doesn't mean that you have the same interests. A lot of the time in New York City, it breaks down on like a spectrum of who's, you know, from like radical to mainstream gays, and it goes from, you know, all the way from like gay to transgender to...
Hence the Stop Christine Quinn movement, which
exactly.
Was like, yeah.
Lots of gay people don't like her.
Right.
And they have all of these quibbles and problems with her. And then also in New York State, we have really, really vast protections for LGBT people. And, you know, some of the radical gay groups say that they don't go far enough and they have problems with that. But she wasn't going to get voters who were like, we need to have this historic openly gay mayor because we need gay marriage in New York. They already have that. So it's sort of like... maybe her campaign came a little too late for her to capitalize
on. For me,
that.
It's like, you know, she was like, I'm the first gay mayor of New York City. I feel like New York is the only city in America where it should be like, who cares, you know?
And I kind of think that that's what happened,
right.
which is is that kind of a victory in a way? It's like
it is.
But on the flip side, though, I think the woman thing is kind of interesting because it's like I feel like that is kind of antiquated in the sense that we don't yet.
She ran on like competency. You know, she was like, I can get things done and I'm competent, and that's not really a message. You know, for people to like, oh, I'm going to vote for the competent one. Like, no one thinks like that. You know.
That might end up mattering, like,
sure,
in general,
yeah,
but it doesn't matter in a Democratic primary. Yeah. They're definitely going to attack Bill de Blasio with, like, how much experience do you
have? Oh, yeah, I do feel like, and this is not an anti-de Blasio thing, but I do think that the city will struggle with him in power if he is the mayor, but I think that's not a bad thing, per se, because I think you see all these ebbs and flows with, like, crime rates and things like that, and I don't believe that they're so much ingrained into the person in power, but I would like to see my tax dollars go to things like education and healthcare for a little bit instead of, like, security and Wall Street, you know, like, building condos for people to move here to, you know, hedge funds.
Or millions of dollars to Fresh Direct.
Yes.
So they can create, like, you know, 300 jobs in the Bronx that pay, like, eight bucks an hour, you know, the corporate subsidies. That's what angers me.
To your point about all the support, though, that these candidates got, you have the guy who was supported by all the unions, not Wynn. You had most of the people that were, well, except for Stringer, that were supported by a lot of the major news outlets, not Wynn.
Yeah.
Is this kind of like a passing of the guard in terms of, like, these kind of outdated, not outdated, well, maybe they're outdated now, but, like, these forms of support that were always, like, the media and the unions were always kind of, like, the driving force for, you know, a lot of people. Now, kind of, does it not matter as much anymore?
Well, actually, Bill de Blasio has had the support of the largest union in the city, which is 1199, the healthcare workers union. So they definitely turned out some votes for him. And he also has a field operation that comes from, like, comes out of the Working Families Party, which is, like, really coordinated, like, Obama-style, out on the ground, turn out the vote kind of stuff. He had a good operation out there. I think that the editorial pages didn't matter as much in the mayor's race. They definitely, like, the tabloids did a number on people like Spitzer, and I think they did a number on Vito and Vito Lopez. And, you know, if it was a sex scandal, I think that the newspapers made a huge difference. If it was just a bunch of Democrats in a mayoral primary, nobody seemed to care.
So, jumping ahead then, because this is what I'm really interested in, let's just assume that there's not a runoff, although if there is, my point before was that, do you think that's going to hurt his chances against Joe Loda? But how, okay, do you think this moving forward now, because this is basically like about the most right and left candidates we could have on the ballot.
Not true.
Yeah, I disagree.
Loda's definitely billing himself as like a quirkier Giuliani, you know, like, I got the, you know, I have, like, the administrative know-how and I'm a businessman, but at the same time I'm libertarian. I'm for legalizing marijuana and I don't really care, you know, who you have sex with, and I'm cool, despite the fact that he was, like, Giuliani's major attack dog back in the late 90s when they were attacking the Brooklyn Museum over this stupid piece of art.
Right.
They, like, made it this huge deal.
The poop one, I remember.
Yeah.
That.
So, yeah, you're probably here for that.
Yeah, because I'm 68 years old.
Right.
It was the Mother Teresa with elephant dung on it. That's
yes.
what it was.
And so that,
not
so,
Mother Teresa,
so Loda,
Mary.
Loda was the one who Giuliani sent to all the newspapers to, like, you know, bitch about it. So, you know, he was...
So he might be Ray Liotta's brother.
No, he might be Ray Liotta's brother.
That sounds like something you would send Ray Liotta to do if it was a movie.
But that... All right, so what kind of chance does Loda have, in your opinion?
Okay, well, this is a matter of debate, right?
Sure.
Registered Democrats outnumber registered Republicans in this town by 6-1, right? But we have not had a Democrat mayor in office since Dinkins. So that's a long time that Republicans have been winning. And how do they do that? It's partially because I think Republicans in New York City are sort of like Democrats in any other state. Like, Loda is pro-choice and all of this other stuff. I mean, he's like the Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation of, like, Republican government.
Yep.
Progressive Republican.
Yeah, he's a progressive Republican. So they end up bringing in sometimes independent voters, moderate voters, people who think who are going to think that, like, Bill de Blasio is way too liberal and they're just more moderate, especially people who are like, please don't raise taxes. And there's plenty of those people. People make a lot of money in New York City just to live here. So he could, if different groups come out and decide to spend money for him, he could have a fighting chance. But the odds are stacked against Loda, definitely.
But I guess that was kind of my point. I didn't mean to say the most right and left, but
liar.
You do have one guy who's being propped up by the Koch brothers and supports things like Stop and Frisk or keeping it kind of status
quo.
But
that's a bullshit thing because he's saying he's going to keep it. It's always going to be around.
No, I mean even status quo. Right. He's you know.
Yeah, but the NYPD's I shouldn't have cut you off. Go ahead. No, you're right. You're saying we're lucky to have Ray Kelly, which is essentially, you know, Christine Quinn's position.
Right.
And, you know, that's Loda's position, too.
And then the flip side is, you know, they're going to, you know, I mean, however liberal de Blasio is, that's how they're going to, you know, he's going to be portrayed that way.
Right.
He's, like,
yeah.
Super liberal.
Sure.
So I guess we will see kind of what the true test of, you know, what the gumption or whatever, you know, of the New York people, like, do they live up to their word of saying, like, you know, we want these things because we're a progressively liberal city, or, like, they fall back on their, you know.
Or do they just stay at home and not vote because no one really cares, you know? That's the sad thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll vote. I'll vote once I can. I wish I could vote in the primaries as an independent. Just go in and, like, you know, press buttons.
Well, I mean, isn't there some system we could have where everyone votes for every primary? Like, what's that system called? It's failing me now. Someone wrote a piece about this.
Yeah, but I think then you'd have a lot of people that go out and try to sway. Like, if you're a super liberal Democrat, like, you would go and vote for, like, someone who would not be Joe Loda. You know what I mean? Like McDonald or something like that.
I see. I don't know. What? Sorry.
Yeah, I think, well, we've got to wrap up soon, so I think maybe we should talk about, really quick, we got 2 minutes. These guys, Structure New has to leave, but there's some people here in the restaurant who keep holding up a sign that asking, are you important?
I think it's like performance art or something.
I think it's Lena Dunham over there. Is that Lena Dunham? I'm joking.
She would know.
Didn't they shoot like an episode here?
They did. That's how I pitch it to people. I'm like, of the Clintons eating and Lena Dunham fan.
Sit in the same chair that Lena Dunham sat in.
But yeah, everyone, this is a large room, so I'm just going to project it to everyone. Laura, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
It's totally fun.
And whenever we have, you know, we obviously try to talk politics, or try, quote unquote, but we like to have return guests, so I'm sure we'll be asking you again in the future.
Super relevant, even though it doesn't seem like it sometimes, like all of the things that you, like the road that you ride your bicycle on and whatever, yeah. That's related to elections and city government. Gotta get involved there.
Yeah.
Think global, act local.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
And Destruction Unit, guys, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for sticking around.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And yeah, maybe we can discuss those.
Let's talk Arizona when we get off the air.
Yeah, we'll talk a little more Arizona and peyote and meth labs.
See you next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.